I did something fun last night, something a little different. Normally, what ministers do on Saturday nights, especially if they're speaking the next day, is they go to bed early. They prepare all day, they go to bed early. I did not go to bed early. I had to stay up really late for me because I was interviewed on a radio show because one of my books just came out in paperback, and so you have to do promotion for the book, and this was a radio show on the West Coast, so you know, we're 3 hours later, and they had me on, and so I was up later than I normally do. And I have to admit, I did not want to do this interview. I wanted to go to bed so I could be rested for today. But I went on the interview, and it was so much fun, and it was so interesting. These were it was a national radio show, AM radio show, that also has a website and called Good Vibrations Radio. And they were totally like us. They were just tuned into it. And usually when you do radio interviews for your book, most of the time, the people who interview you have not read the book. So they ask the same questions. This is the first question they almost always ask. It's a clue that they have no idea what you've written. Tell me about your book. And then the second question is, what made you want to write that book? Sometimes they don't even know the title of why you're on. But these guys not only had read the book, they loved the book, and they were just going into it. But what was interesting is at the beginning of the interview, before they actually got to the interview with me, one of the hosts talked about the vibration of 2012 and the vibration of 2013. And, you know, I'm not a very new agey kind of guy. So when I was listening to it, I thought, okay, the vibration. But it was she was so right on. It was just fantastic. And this is, I wrote it down. I was taking notes while I had the phone like this. I'm taking notes so I could share it with you. She said, the vibration of 2012 was a year of transition. Does that fit for anybody in this room? Okay, yeah. It was a year of transition when we went from the Iron Age to the Diamond Age. That was the transitional year to get us to the Diamond Age, where we went from the age of Pisces to now the age of Aquarius. 2012 was the year where we learned to turn away from limitations and move toward limitlessness, and that we 2012 was a year where we were beginning to learn to move away from striving. And that the vibration of, I can't believe I'm saying that word, vibration, the vibration of 2013 is that 2013, the vibration of the year, is the vibration of balance. Isn't that good news? Oh my gosh. Who needs balance in their life? Okay. That the way that we're going to experience balance in our life is by beginning with a relationship with our own soul. That's what she said. That's the way that we individually are going to create balance in the macro for the world, is by learning to have a relationship with our own soul. And that we're going to learn in 2013 the principles of giving and receiving, yin and yang, and that we are all interdependent on each other. That when we move from 2012, which was striving and transition, to 2013, which is about acceptance and receiving. Well, that changed my whole talk for today. And what I realized when I was listening to that, and I was so just digging it in that moment, I was listening to it and thinking, that just feels exactly right, is that I needed to tell you about an experience that I had last spring. I talked about it once in one of our power workshops afterwards. I talked about it a little bit, but I wasn't really ready to talk about it because it was a very profound experience for me that happened last spring. And it's taken me months, all these many months later, to really fully integrate and understand or just come to it. And what she was talking about, I thought, that's exactly what my experience embodied. So I'm going to tell you about this experience I had. It was a mystical experience of God. And we're going to talk about the four things that I learned from that experience. And then in the workshop this afternoon, we're going to put into practice these principles for 2013. Now, this mystical experience that I had happened on an ordinary day in the spring. Just an ordinary day. I went to work that morning, was at work all day. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. Got on the train coming home into the town we live in New Jersey. Got off the train just like I ordinarily do. And I began to walk home. I walked through this park to get to our house like I do hundreds of times. And yet, what happened on this particular ordinary day is that halfway through the park, I was walking along and I happened to look up and there were trees there and the sunlight was coming through the trees and I switched into this kind of, again, I'm not a very new agey guy, so it's hard to use certain kind of words for me. I switched into this altered reality, this other kind of consciousness. It wasn't weird. It wasn't like, you know, those 60s movies where it's like the lava lamps and stuff. It wasn't weird like that. It was just this altered state of reality. It was a heightened state of reality, a heightened state of consciousness is what it felt like. And in that moment, I'm standing there in the park, people all around, you know, because everyone's getting home. And I'm standing there to the observer, to the people who are just walking by. I'm just a guy looking up like this. But within me, I suddenly can feel everything, every single thing having light. And it felt like every single thing was breathing. Insects, birds, trees, leaves, the ground. Everything was breathing and light and connected. It just was an overwhelming feeling of aliveness and oneness. It was unbelievable. And what happens in one of those moments, and probably you all have had experiences similar to that, like when you're out walking in nature, when you're creating, when you're painting or doing whatever the thing is you love, you kind of switch into that place of timelessness. And in that place, what felt like hours of experience was probably just 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, but it felt like hours of experience. And if that was all it was, that would have been a great thing, but something happened next in that experience for me, which is the thing I want to talk about. Because normally when I've had that experience ends and it's wonderful. This time, I ended up having a dialogue. I did not have a dialogue with God, because if we are all connected and we're all created from God, every time I talk to one of you, I'm having a conversation with God. It wasn't one of those. And I wasn't having like a near-death experience. I wasn't channeling another being like, you know, Jerry and Esther Hicks channel Abraham. I wasn't having any of those kinds of experiences. It was just a dialogue with my soul. And notice what she said, the year of 2013, balance is going to start with the relationship with your own soul. I ended up having a conversation, a dialogue with what I believe was just my soul, or what I'll call the great soul. And the very first thing, when I had that moment of, I could actually talk to this in this experience, the very first thing I did was I asked a question. And I said, why am I here? Now that's a question I just know as a minister, every one of us has asked. In fact, if you go back and look at all the great philosophers and spiritual teachers, that's the question, right? Why am I here? Why am I conscious? Why am I in New Jersey? Why am I in 2012? Why am I here? And normally when you've heard answers to that kind of question, what you hear is, you're here for great purposes. You are here to save the world. You are here to become a titan of industry. You are here to become the world's greatest artist. That's not the answer I got. In fact, it was the opposite of that. What the great soul or my soul said to me was, the reason you are here was for one thing. You were created for this moment. And I was like, huh? What? For this moment? And, you know, it was like one of those moments when I probably should have said, oh, that's really great. But inside my mind, I'm thinking, now, when you say this moment, do you mean like this moment on this particular day at this particular time? Or do you mean this moment, then this moment, then this moment? I needed clarification. And it said, no, you were created for this moment. And what I got was that it was saying to me, there is no other moment. There never has been another moment than this moment, that all of eternity, all of life, all of creation, all of the past, all of the future, and all of the present is only one thing, this moment. Not just a nice bumper sticker, you're created for this moment. This was the eternal, this moment, you were created for it. All of creation was created to be in this moment, whatever this moment is. And when I understood that, I felt a sense of connection to all of time because it was all now. And I felt a connection to everything. But I also came away with another idea, which was if I was created for this moment, then I can let go of a lot of the things that I thought I was created for. You know, we play a lot of head games on ourselves, saying that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not this, we're not far enough along, etc. But if you were created for this moment, just this moment here, how would that change your life to just let go of everything else? That doesn't mean that you don't get anything else. It means that at this moment, you recognize that you were created for now. You were created for now. And then it went on. And the second thing that the second idea I got from that built on the first, it said, you were created for this moment, and it is enough. And it is enough. Now, I have to admit, when I heard that, that human part of me did not like to hear that. It is enough. Now, we live in a Western culture that says it's never enough. In fact, if you only grow a business by 2% a year, that's not enough. Businesses are supposed to grow 3, 4, 5, 6% every year. If you only grow 2%, that's not enough. If you only do this, that's not enough. If you only have this, that's not enough. But it said it is enough. It also, in that feeling of it is enough, it was talking about the idea that we want to make ourselves so, we want to build ourselves and bring our pride and our ego into it so that we can always have more than we had the year before. But if this moment is enough, then what are we striving for? In the enough that it was talking about, it said, not from the place of lack. Now, my family, part of my family is from a Greek heritage. And so the kind of thing that I heard growing up from my Greek relatives around the table, do you want some more ham? No, it's okay. I've got enough. Oh, you didn't get a raise this year. That's okay. I don't need it. I've got enough. It's from that victim place, you know? That's not the kind of enough it was talking about. It wasn't saying, oh, whatever you have in your life, it's enough. It was the opposite of that. The enough it was talking about was that in its enough was everything. That everything is already ours. Everything is already created. Everything you have in your life right now is enough for you to be fulfilled, to be happy, and to feel the fullness and aliveness of life itself. Everything you already have is enough to feel fully and wonderfully, joyfully alive. It is enough. Not it is enough. It is enough. What you have now is enough. That doesn't mean you're not going to get more. It means that where you are now is enough. You know, the way that we teach in Science of Mind is similar to, like I mentioned earlier, Jerry and Esther Hicks, they channel Abraham. And Abraham has this great phrase in his teachings called segment intending. Does anybody know? Have you heard about that? Have you read Abraham's book? Some of you have. Segment intending is really interesting. What segment intending is Abraham says, think of your life as a series of segments, okay? You're in this segment, and then you're going to go to this segment, and then you're going to go to this segment all the way down your life. And what he says, Abraham says, what this teaching, Science of Mind says, what this experience, my soul said, was, in this segment that you are in right now, if you do not feel complete, whole, and enough, then you are literally going to create the lack of enough in your next segment. Abraham calls it segment intending, saying whatever segment you are in, however you are in your segment now, is what you are intending, what you are creating for your next segment. We are literally what he calls pre-paving our next segment. What this soul was saying to me was, feel the enoughness. Feel complete, whole, and enough in this moment so that the next moment, the next segment, the next day, you create more of it. The minute you feel lack of anything, lack of money, I don't have enough money, I'm in debt, I'm too fat, I'm too rich, I'm too poor, I'm too, whatever it is, and we have that in our segment, that is the thing that we create in the next segment. But when we switch that around and remind ourselves, whatever it is we already have in our life, it is enough. Then we create more of that in our next segment. Jesus said, to him who has, more shall be given. It's the same concept. If you realize that you have, the next segment is more of it. Isn't that paradoxical? To realize you already have everything you need, paradoxically means that you get more. How amazing is life that way? But to the reverse of that is also true. To realize right now that you don't have enough paradoxically means that you have less in your next segment. You were created for this moment, and it is enough. So in this hours-long, four-minute experience that I had, I was really understanding that, and it was going down deep, and then all of a sudden I had a very human reaction. A very human reaction. And that reaction was fear. Fear. Because I started to think, well, wait a second, if I was created for this moment and it's enough, then what's left? What is left? What is left for me to go toward? What is left for me to want? What is left for me to do? What is left? And I started to feel fear. And you won't be surprised to know that the third thing that I got from this experience was that sense of the great soul saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And the feeling that came with it was a knowing of, if everything was light and connected and breathing and alive, 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 and everything was one thing, what is there to be afraid of? How can anything be other than God? And if nothing is other than God, what do we have to fear? What exactly do we have to fear? There is only God. And so we have no fear to move toward. But our human minds sometimes find that difficult to comprehend, to hold. In fact, I was mentioning to one of my classes recently about this woman who wrote a book in 1936 called Wake Up and Live. This woman was a journalist named Dorothea Brand. And the book is out of print. It's coming back in print next fall. But she wrote a book called Wake Up and Live, and she said something interesting. In 1936, she got something that I think is as true today as it was then. She said this. She says that the vast majority of men and women have what she called a will to fail. A will to fail. She said, She said, we are more frightened of suffering humiliation than we desire what it is we want. Did you get that? We are more frightened of suffering humiliation than it is desire what we want. She said, when fear and ambition clash, meaning our fear of being humiliated versus the desire of the thing that we want clash, fear inevitably will prevail. Why? Because our unconscious dreads pain. And it will bend itself in effort even more ceaselessly to the end of avoiding pain than it does to procuring pleasure. Our unconscious mind will bend ceaselessly to the end of avoiding pain. It will do what it takes to avoid pain, so it will stay in the fear. It seems counterintuitive to do that, but that is what we do. But she said there's an antidote to that. And she came up with a statement. I think it's 6 words. 8 words. And these 8 words became so popular in her time, they've now continued along, and people have varied it a little bit and put their name underneath it, but she was the architect of these 8 words. That is the antidote to our fear. What she said was, act as if it were impossible to fail. That's how you move past the fears. You act as if it were impossible to fail. Or the way it's viewed now is, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you did not have any fear? The great being said, every teaching, every wisdom teaching has said one thing more than anything else, which is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Bible has one commandment more than any other commandment in the entire book, and that is fear not. Do not be afraid. In fact, I read somewhere that if you count all of the times the Bible says do not be afraid in the various ways, fear not, do not be afraid, toil not, worry not, that it's 365 times. I don't know if that's true. I haven't counted them. But I believe it's true because what it would say, that's code for it saying every single day, remind yourself there's nothing to fear. Why? Because I am the Lord your God and you were created in my image. So number 3 was, do not be afraid. So there I was, and I got it. We were created for this moment, and it is enough. And there's nothing to be afraid of. And I said, so what do I do now? What do I do now? And this is what it said. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Now, do what you want. You know, there's a different level of doing what you want when you are free from all the things that you think you have to do. Now you're living in a place of feeling. What do you feel like you want to do? If you are segment intending fully right now, that it is enough, and then you put forth what you want to do, what would that be? What would the joy be? In that interview that I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, we went through the whole book, but the guy who was interviewing me said, there's one thing I love more than anything else in this entire book. And I said, oh, really, what was that? Thank you for reading it. I almost said to him on the air, thank you for actually reading the book. And I said, he said, it's found on page 123, and he said, it's a list that you guys created, you and your co-author, and it's 10 things you might want to forgive yourself for. He said, that's worth the price of the entire book, and that was his words. He said, because he could relate to every single one of these. Number one, unrealized goals. 2, comparing yourself to others. 3, unkind actions. 4, self-criticism. Does anybody have any self-criticism in this room? 5, not being good enough. Anybody relate to that? 6, not doing enough. Does anybody relate to that? 7, procrastination. 8, addictions. 9, old habits. And 10, judging self and others. When we realize that we are created for this moment and it is enough and there's nothing to fear, guess what? We can let go of all of those things, that baggage that we carry, that stick that we have. What do they call it in your script? That script that we play over and over in our head of, I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. And instead, we can move into that vibrational energy that the host was saying for 2013, which is, we can just be enough. And in that place, then we can open ourselves up to receive and accept, and that every segment of our lives, whether it's a segment of an hour, a day, or a month, or a year, every segment of our life, we recognize that we were created for now. And it is enough. Nothing to fear. And now we get to do what it is we want. You know, at the end of this, and when I came out of it, and I was standing there and there were people walking around, I thought how perfect it is that everyone's just doing their thing. And I was in the middle of it all. And it just felt so true and right. And I didn't even come home and mention it to my partner, Ellen, because I needed all of these months to really fully understand and to get to the point where I recognize this is the code of our lives. This is the code of what all the spiritual teachers have been saying to us. You already are enough. You're created for now. Don't fear. And now, as we close out this year and we begin 2013, now, make 2013 the year that you do what you want. Yes?
Yes.
And so it is.
Yes.
Thank you. So let's, thank you very much. Let's take this into a treatment so that we can just feel it all the way in. Yes. We are in this present moment. We are fully alive and aware and awake right here in this present moment. We recognize and realize the truth of life. Why are we here? We are here for right now, the eternal now. And we recognize right here now in the segment that is this center, this service, right now we fully recognize there is nothing to need or want because everything that is in our life at this moment is enough. It is enough. It is enough. We say yes to that. And we move forward confidently, knowing that we cannot fail, knowing that there is nothing to fear, because everything is one thing. And if there is anything other than the one thing, then it's not an other. It's just that we have not recognized it as the one thing yet. Everything is one thing. And so if everything is the spirit of life itself, sometimes it comes disguised in different ways. However, spirit is disguised in your life right now, there is nothing to be afraid of. Breathe into that truth. And within your own mind and heart, say, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. And now with fearlessness in this moment, we say yes to the future, knowing that we get to do and move forward in a spirit of joy. We make joy our compass and follow where it leads. And we bring forth that which is within us because there is nothing that we have to do other than what it is that we are here for, to be present and to move forward with joy. And paradoxically, as we do that ourselves, and as we create a greater experience and relationship with our own soul, The paradox is that as we do that with ourselves, it reverberates out into the world, and our giving to the world increases. And our blessing to the world increases. And in our own sense of oneness, we literally lift the world up effortlessly. So right here and right now, we tap into that power that is within us, that is the eternal power that has created all life from all time. And we bring that into our own awareness, and we wrap ourselves in that great power, knowing that is who we are. We were not created to live small and afraid. No, now we know we already have arrived. Thank you, God, for life itself. We have no complaints whatsoever. We're grateful for everything, and our segment is full and complete. And we release this into the law, knowing that as we release it, it is creating our next segment full enough. And we release it fully. And let it go, and together we say, and so it is.